My name is Avi Kamen, and this is a session in what is usually a regularly Tuesday night class, but last night we had to cancel it, so we moved it to Wednesday. And if any of you are jumping in and I'm not watching, you should know that the class is not a lecture. The class is a learning inside with text, and we'll have hopefully some good questions, some good opportunity to converse about what we're talking about. So very briefly, the mimer that we're learning tonight, and every mimer that we learn in this, what's called Tuesday night Chassidus, even though we're meeting tonight on Wednesday, is for the Lilui Nishmat for Shlomo ben Moshe, a very good friend, Bundi, who passed away in an untimely manner, and who was very instrumental in solidifying this class when it used to be physically at Hever Avos Yisrael in Crown Heights. So should be a Lilui Nishmas. He should hear the Shoma shall have an Aliyah. And what more perfect day to have an Aliyah than the day on which the Fideke Rebbe, with whom all of us who are connected with Chabad owe a great debt and to whom we are connected, that his Neshama is having an Aliyah and sort of pulls us up with him. So
are we adding? My kids are telling me to add names for Ilui Nishmas. Is that what we're doing?
Sure. We could add, we always do Ilui Nishmas and Refu Shleima.
Ilui Nishmas, my aunt just passed away, Rachel Bat Yirmiyahu Meir, and her mother passed away a year earlier, Rivka Bat Shmuel.
Those neshama should have an aliyah, and we always add, it's a bad custom, the neshama should have an aliyah, upoil Yeshua's bekerah ha'oretz, and her going up should have a big explosive effect to bring down great blessings down here below.
Amen.
Anybody else like to add either Ilui Nishmas or Refuah Shleima? Okay, so let's start. Vasi Lagan, we're learning there are two mamorim that have been given out this year in Chof Beis and Mem Beis, because the original Hemshech of Vasi Lagani is a Hemshech of four mamorim, each with five oisias, which were given out in Tavshin Yud, which is turned out to be, and they were given out by the organization of Chabad, a maimor of the Fideke Rebbe that he gave out, that he put together, Le'ilui Nishmas, his grandmother, the Rebbetzin Rivka, who is the wife of the Rebbe Maharash. And it came out in four sections. It was a hemshech of four sections, with each with five oisios. And the second of the section, which came out after Yud Shvat, it came out later, was actually given out from Yortzeit of his mother, Rebbetzin Sternum. And then two more pieces came out, one on the following Purim and one on Beis Nissen. And the theme of Vasi Lagani is announced in the opening words, which are from Shir HaShirim. God says, and this is in this plain Peshat of this, he says this in reference to the Beis HaMikdash, Vasi Lagani, I am coming to my garden. And the Midrash says, this word Lagani is really meant to be understood leganoni. Leganoni is the notion, a couple of notions I'll bring out, there are a few of them. I'll bring out two of them. One is the bridal chamber. Basically, the God is saying that in the temple, I and the Jewish people were wedded. And the temple, of course, was a recapitulation of Matan Torah, in which the first marriage, the first stage of the marriage took place, when God came down to earth, when he brought his Torah down to earth. So in a nutshell, you could look at this as Zvi Friedman entitled his book, Bringing Heaven Down to Earth. So the question that we have to ask here is, so what does it mean? What bringing heaven down to earth? Is it bringing heaven down to earth that we do his mitzvahs? Well, mitzvah is Loshen Mitzava, which is commandment, and Savtor, which means to connect. So clearly, like the bride and groom connect, and like Hashem's spirit, the Shekhinah, connects with the Mizbeach at the altar, there is this notion of connection through doing his will. But Basi Lagani, this mimer takes this one step further. Beyond being Shomer Mitzvahs, beyond establishing a connection with God through Torah and Mitzvahs, this mimer takes it to the place of being like God. Like God, meaning what? Well, there are many ways to understand that. We have 10 spheros, and he has 10 spheros, and we have 10 koichos. So we're built and designed in the image of God, B'tzelem Elokim, right? But that, you might say, is the natural state of a Jew. What this Maimon Basi Lagani does is lays down a gauntlet, so to speak, for behavior which is l'mayla metam v'dayas, higher than our rational understanding, higher even than the beginning point of connection with the super conscious, which is Chochmah, higher than that whole what's called Seder Histalshelus, from Chochmah on down. Bosi Lagani here means to connect with Atzmus, to connect with the essence of God. And in doing so, when one connects with the essence of God, one brings out one's essence of infinity within himself, because the essence of God, there's two ways of understanding God's essence. One is it's Ein Sof, it's without end, as we call him, the Ein Sof. We have many references in Chassidus to the Ein Sof Baruch Hu, the infinite one, blessed be he. But the Rebbe points out in the Maimer that we're learning that in speaking about God, it's really not most fitting to call him the Ein Sof, because we have an expression that occurs a lot in Kabbalah, which is the Or Ein Sof, the light which is Ein Sof. And the Rebbe, in what we learned the other day, last week, explains there's two ways of understanding this. Either you understand it as a light which is coming from something which is Ein Sof. In other words, Or Ein Sof could be taken as Or Shel Ein Sof. It's a light of the infinite. Or you could take it to mean a light which is self-infinite. Now, what's the difference? Well, the difference is, and the Rebbe is going to focus as we go further in this Maimer on the second explanation, that in a certain way, it's not 100% accurate to interpret Or Ein Sof as the light of the Ein Sof, because God is way past Ein Sof. The proper way of understanding God is not that he's infinite, and meaning he has no end, is that he has no beginning. And this is just, I'm recapitulating things that which were said in the Maimer when we started last week. And this is pure Rambam, by the way. The Rambam defines God as that primordialness which has no primordialness before it. He has no beginning. Ein Sof is a kind of degradation of that. It's bringing it down in a way that, of course he's Ein Sof. Of course he's infinite. But that he has no beginning reaches something much, much deeper. The fact that he reaches, that he is deeper than having no limit, means that he encompasses limitation as well. This is an expression from one of the 17th century Kabbalists, that the greatness and the greatness of the expression of God is just as he has koyach ha'ein sof, the power of infinity, yesh loy koyach ha'gavul. He also has the power of limitedness. By us, limitlessness and limitedness are contradictions. It's a paradox. How can you be both limitless and limited? But think about this just as like philosophy in a certain way, logic. If you say to God, about God that he can't encompass limitedness, then he's limited. So therefore, God cannot be defined as the Ein Sof. God can be defined as that which has no primordial root before him, but can't be discussed as Ein Sof because he transcends Ein Sof. He's both without end and with end. So what? Well, so what means, and this is the key to what we're going to be talking about tonight, the so what means that down here in Olam HaZeh HaTachton, in this very, very lowest world of the ultimate in limitedness, God himself exists in the most profound way, which is that his infinity can be contained in finitude. And this is the second way of understanding the expression, two ways of understanding the expression from the Zohar. The Zohar says about Hashem that he's lamai lamaila ad ein ketz, he's above, above, above without any outer limit. And at the same time, he's lamata ad ein tachlis. He's below without any bottom. Like we say in Hebrew, what's the tachlis? What's the bottom line? God transcends every bottom line. Every limitation is an opportunity for godliness at its most profound level to be expressed, because the most profound level of God's, of God himself, is that his infinity is part of finitude, is a part of limitedness. Meaning that every one of us and every rock in the planet and every atomic particle and subatomic particle, which we've, you know, discovered over the years, has an infinite floor, so to speak, that goes down and down and down. And what this means to us is that we, ostensibly limited creatures, have an infinite engine, an engine of infinity within us. And discovering that infinite energy which is within us and expressing it is the subject of our mimer. The mimer, as I told you, is in Hemshik of four. So is a Hemshik of five times four, which is 20. And this is a 20 Tavshin Pei Beis. So in Tavshin Pei Beis is a recapitulation of back to Tavshin Chof Beis, which in which the Ois, the Sif of that mimer for that year is Sif 12. So we are in the middle of Sif 12. And before I start delving into the mimer per se, let me take a moment and just see if there are any questions or comments that we need to resolve before we can springboard forward. So this is an opportunity if anyone wants to come off mute and ask anything or say anything that, you know, that hopefully will get us on the firmer footing, please do. Okay, we're starting, if you have the text in front of you or on page test. So at the bottom of page test, there's a bracket, two lines up from the bottom. And beginning in the bracket, and again, as I said, this is a class in which we try to learn inside, look at the letters become important, the words become important. So start. Sha'or yesh leketzah shaychus lemoyer. First of all, we're talking about light, the or ein sof. And in addition to the preface which I've given it, one of the ideas that have been brought forth a little bit before on this page, actually, is one of the qualities of light is that it has a relationship to the source of the light, as he's about to explain. V'hu me'en ha'or. So the expression is or, the light, is me'en ha'or, is something like and as bears a resemblance to the source of the light. U'kimoshen is bora b'maimorim ha'kodmim, as explained in previous maimorim. She'al yedei ha'or, that through the light, Efshaladas es hamoyer. Through the quality of the light, one can detect the source, the radiating source of the light. For instance, imhu or haner, if it's a candlelight. So, in other words, the source of the light is a candle. And the texture and quality of candlelight is very different from the texture and quality of LED lighting, for instance. One can sense a candle. I mean, partly because it gives itself away with a flicker, right? But in any case, one can say, oh, that's candlelight. It has a texture that resembles some the source from whence it comes, which is the candle. There's the or hayireah, the moonlight, totally different quality than the sunlight, which is another, the third that he gives, or hashemesh, the light of the sun. So what are we learning here? That the or ein sof, it's a light, right? They call it the Or Ein Sof, the infinite light, is Ma'en Hamor. It carries with it qualities of its source. And what's its source? The source is the Atzmus of the Ein Sof. Atzmus is before any radiation, and light is a radiation from it, which simply means that since everything in the creation owes its entire existence to the energy, which we're calling Or Ein Sof, that everything in the creation embodies something of the essence of God. Now, that's a very interesting thing in itself, I think, but think about what that means and the implications of what that means to us, that each one of us, in our individuated and defined, limited body and shape and personality and mental capacity, have within us Ma'en Hamor, something of the radiator, which is the source of Atzmus itself, the essence of God within us. Now, operationally, what does it mean? And what's the implication? So the implication is, as we will learn further in the mimer, that with this mimer, the Friedrich Rebbe basically, this mimer is essentially the Friedrich Rebbe's last will and his the inheritance that he's given us. Literally, last will, you know, when someone writes a will, you don't usually take the word will seriously, but this is his will. This is his ratzon. His will is that we should know, discover, and utilize the power of infinity, which is within us. First, to know that we have that power, know how to access that power, and in doing so, do what the Rebbe expressed in the next generation, Kehara Welt, to turn over and turn the world inside out with the power of infinity. A very simple way of expressing this is every yesh, every substantial thing, a human, a rock, is empowered and only exists from the fact that there's an energetic of divinity in it. And to turn the world upside down, Kehara Welt, turn the world upside down, is to reveal the godliness in everything. And that, in Dor HaShvihi, which is the Rebbe's inheritance and activation of the Friedrich Rebbe's mandate, that became the rallying cry, Kehara Welt. I mean, the Rebbe said this many times, and it embodies, I think, and other people have also think this, sort of an encapsulation, Kehara Welt Hein, four words, turn over the world today. And back to what I said at the beginning, of course, be observant, and of course, fulfill the commands of Hashem. But the commands themselves, remember, the commandments are expressions of what God wants from us. There's something deeper than that, which is the essence of God itself. He wants his essence to be revealed down here below. And that's, of course, encapsulated in the Maamar of the Midrash that we say in Chabad all the time, that Nisava HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem has a taiva, a desire, a strong passion, to make a dwelling place in the lower worlds. He wants himself to be expressed in this world, and he's given us the capability because he's invested us with the Or Ein Sof, the light which is like the radiator itself, which is infinite, and he's given us teachings and powers and capabilities and a mission to turn the world upside down, inside out, let godliness be revealed in the plain platitude words that we use, Geula, turn it inside out. So that's the implication of the light being Ma'en Ha'or, the light having some similarity, root similarity to the radiator. So I'm down on the bottom of the page, finishing this first page test. V'hine, Zesha Or Ma'en Ha'or. This that the light has a quality which embodies and models the emanator in himself, Mevar Admer Hazaken, the Alter Rebbe has explained in the Geras HaKadosh, as is known in the section of Tanya called the Geras HaKadosh. Yeah, the part that begins with the Zohar, Ihu V'Chayehi Chad, which translated simply is he and his life force is one. Now the life force goes on the Oris. He and his lights are one. And then Ihu V'Gamehi Chad, and he and his vessels are one, which goes on Kalim. Now, not everybody here may be familiar with this language, lights and vessels. Simply speaking, light is energy. And any energy to express its fulfillment, to fulfill its mission, needs a vessel for that expression. For instance, electricity in our humble lower reality. Electricity is energy, but you wouldn't know it were there unless there were some conductor. Hopefully the conductor is not your finger, but rather something like a light bulb. You need something to conduct the electricity for the electricity to have an expression. So this is a simple pairing called ores, lights and vessels, energy and containers. And in the world of Atzilus, the highest world, the Zohar tells us that he and his energies and he enters and his light are one. In other words, there's very little, almost zero separation between the light and the vessel. The outcome of that is that the vessel feels the presence and the investment of godliness in it all the time. And so he goes on and says, Shabriya Yesh Me'ayin Hurak B'Koicha Atzmus. So this ability that God has brought forth, that his light, which is Ein Sof, right? The light is infinite, should be invested and capable of being invested and contained in some things which are Sof, like ourselves, are bounded. This is, he says, B'koicha Atzmus. This is a power of essence itself, as I said earlier. Essence transcends paradox. It embraces paradox. I once said to somebody, and I think it's true, any place you can find paradox, you'll find God. at least not the God that we're talking about, but you'll find this is a godly effect, that the paradox can become unified and opposites don't contradict each other, but opposites complement and work with each other, so that Ein Sof ultimately can be embodied in limitations. And only Hashem, Atzmus Ein Sof, only Hashem has that ability to create something which feels itself to be something on its own. Who am I talking about? I'm talking about us. This is a profound teaching about how one can embrace the notion of the paradox that the infinite is contained in the finite. Think about this. Hashem himself says about, the Torah says about Hashem, Hu levadehu. He alone is. He's the only thing so far, until I tell you the next half of it, in creation that can say, I am the only thing that exists. Ani, I am alone. Hu levadehu, who he alone is. There really is nothing besides him. However, there's one other creature in the whole of creation, not an angel. An angel feels that there's a certain separateness, but an angel feels the connection with God. The only creature in all of creation that feels and it has a consciousness of its utterly being detached and separate from anything else is us, human beings. So this is a very profound, I don't mean I'm saying this, that it's a profound thing. The fact that it's explained in Chassidus is a very profound thing. That when we say that an Adam, a human being, is created, but Selim Elohim, in the image of God, that fact is front and center from if just looking at the fact that we feel totally and see ourselves as being individual entities separate from other entities. Now, that's not to contradict that we have empathy and we have the ability to connect, but I know that this that you see in the picture is me and nobody else, right? So that itself is the light and the source, the light which comes out is like the source. Just like the source is alone, the emanation at its lowest level, meaning the human down here below in this world, experiences itself in a similar way. And that similar way, which means I'm a separate thing, and at the same time, I have a consciousness which is capable of grasping that my consciousness that I have within me, powers which are higher than consciousness, I have an Ein Sof within me. This is the power of Atzmus, to bring together the opposite. Separateness on the one hand, and complete communion, inter-inclusion, and unity with Atzmus Ein Sof, with the essence of God on the other hand. So this is the Koyach Atzmus. That's the second line, middle of the second line. So this creation, which is a Yesh Me'ayin, something it feels itself that it doesn't know where it comes from, this is from the power of Atzmus, of essence, She'en L'Shum Ila V'Sibah, that this the experience that I have no predecessor cause, and Shekad Moloi, nothing precedes me, Chas V'Sholom. I'm detached. I maybe have remembrances of a womb experience, maybe, if I'm lucky, where I had this visceral sense of connectivity, but once I'm popped out into the brave new world, I'm all alone, totally detached. And I have to struggle to find connections so that I can ultimately feed myself first at the breast and then struggle for the food, because everything is not part of me. And I have to discover those things which are necessary for me. So, therefore, created entities, the way they feel, in the Margishim Shiesh Leilavasiba, they have the feeling that they are not attached to anything. They don't have any previous cause. If created things had the experience of having a predecessor cause, so they would feel what that cause is. And that which we see, that these creatures, Yochol Lios, is able to be, they're able to grasp that which from which they come. V'yad etaklus yadiyah v'yasoga, as much as they're going to grasp from where they come through their intellect and their senses, sheyesh lehem mokar hamahava oisam, that they do have a source somewhere. I mean, I know, I don't know where my, what my source is, but I know I came from somewhere. I mean, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos tells me I came from a putrid drop. You know, thank you very much. You know, that's, okay, I get that there are predecessor physiological, biological activities that culminated in me. Okay, that I could get with my harizeh rak v'yidiyosam v'leved hargosh shesom. That I get it with my mind, but I don't feel it. I don't feel the putrid drop from whence I came. And I certainly don't feel the source from whence, and I'm not talking about the physical father, the spiritual source from what constitutes that physical drop, that it has sufficient energy, which we call spirituality, to actually make another human being in combination with an egg to create a zygote. I know that, I read it in books, but I don't have that in my gut feel. And why is that? Because each one of us at this table and at this around this learning, each one of us was created ma'ayin layesh, from nothing to something. Simply speaking, to the ayin, of course, doesn't mean nothing, zero. It means I've been created, we have all been created from something which is totally beyond our logical reckoning, totally beyond our ability to touch, totally beyond our ability to feel. And because it's ineffable, unexpressible, undefinable, has no tzir and has no shape, we call it ayin. And from that ayin, from that unformedness, came this weird physical form. So that's the way we've been created. Me'ayin le'yesh. V'hainu she'adovan ha'mahava oisim nikra ayin. The thing that creates us, that brings us into being, is called an ayin, a nothing. The fi why, as I just said, she'legabi ha'nivra enu b'metzias klau. Our source has no existence. We have no tangible intellectual connection with our source. As of course, as we're about to say a little bit later, we have a connection. That connection is not our wonderful, you know, the crown of creation mind. It's not the mind. It's the mindlessness, which ultimately it's sometimes called the shtus of kedusha. It's emuna. It's transcending our logical capabilities. We can get some heritage for it. But as much as I think and much as I know, who was it? There, somebody could tell me, the French philosopher, Descartes, who said, I think, therefore I am. A Jew never would say that. I think, that's not what makes me who I am. What makes me who I am is the infinite Atzmus Ein Sof, which is embodied in my soul. Somebody told me that Elon Musk was quoted as saying, I never heard anybody quote him saying that, somebody asked Elon Musk, they were talking about spiritual things, and Elon Musk said, we don't have a soul, we are a soul. In other words, the Jewish and ultimately human experience that's deeper than rationality, which we call Pella, the sense of wonder, we have it. But the point here that we're making is through our rational faculties and our, what was the word, yediya, and our knowledge, and the way we feel from what we can understand, we can't touch it at all. It's on the other side. It's the ayin that brings forth the yesh. So where does this come from? How does infinity create finity? How does all-inclusiveness, which is everything, hu levadehu, there's nothing else beside him, create reality where there's a huge number of things that feel themselves to be besides him, other than him? This hatzavisu mitzada atzmus, it comes from essence, she'ein la'ila v'sibur, which has no cause and no effect. It's not, cause and effect is a closeness, right? You know, hit one ball, it hit another ball, and there's a cause and effect. While the ball is being hit by the tennis racket, could look back and say, oh, I know what hit me. It was a tennis racket. That's called ila va'alo. We are essentially not ila va'alo dika beings. This is a void I'm now saying in the name of Dober Pinson, whom I heard for Bring last night. He said this, I thought it was very cute, and it's been resonating with me. We are not an Ilava Alu Jew. A cause and effect Jew is one who's bounded by the upper limit of rationality, and how much he knows she knows, and how bright she is or he is, and how much they've accumulated. That's all ilavol chokhmah bina das chesed murid. All those things are cause and effect. Chesed gives chokhmah gives birth to bina, etc., etc. So an ilavol dikayid, he said, is someone who really hasn't understood what Chassidus is telling us about ourselves, that we're really all yesh me'ayim, that we have a power of the ayin, the power of deep essence of God inside of us, and is there for the tapping, there for the taking, to turn the world inside out. It's explained in the Alter Rebbe's Geras HaKodesh, she'shavis b'poil hu'al yedei or ein sof, that the way things are created, the whole of creation, and we, of course, model the whole of creation because we have the 10 spheres embedded within us, in our soul, is through the Or Ein Sof, Sheyesh by Koyach Ein Sof, which the Or Ein Sof, remember, the light, the Or, is like the source of the light. So the Or Ein Sof has in it the Koyach of Ein Sof. It has the power of that which is without end. Hamis Yakad Im HaKelim, and that gets united with the vessels. So every limited vessel is a container for infinite energy. And the limited vessel we're talking is about us Jewish people particularly. The whole point of the Kalim is that we should be experiencing ourselves and really be limited creatures. Hashem wants us to be individuated entities. Aval be'etzem etzias ha'nivra, in the essence of the existence of each one of us, Humeir Ein Sof, not just the Or Ein Sof, but the infinite. Okay, we're going to skip now to Ois Gimel, and let's see, what time are we in? Okay, let's just pause a minute. Anybody has anything to ask or say? Okay, now just to tell you that in the language of the original Basil Agani, this Ois Yud Beis is coming to explain a metaphor that the Friedrich Rebbe uses. The metaphor is of a king who has a lot of treasures and a lot of treasure houses. And I think we called this session mining the treasures. What do we call it? Mining the treasures within. I forget. Maybe someone can remind me. We have a treasure house. And this metaphor of a treasure house is what we're now calling openly the Ein Sof, not just the Or Ein Sof, but the Ein Sof itself within us. And what the Friedrich Rebbe brings out in the Mashal of the treasure house is as follows.
Mining the treasures in our soul.
Mining the treasures in our soul. Thank you. So the treasures. We have treasures. And sometimes the king takes out something from his treasure house. In the Mashal, let's say the king wants to capture a certain territory and take more captives so he has more workers. So he'll expend money on that, right? He'll feed and clothe and arm an army to do that. However, there are treasures in this metaphor, and the Friedrich Rebbe goes deeply into, there are treasures in the treasure house that the king never touches and never wants to touch. These treasures have been accumulated from his father and his father's father, generation after generation of kings, and have accumulated a wealth beyond wealth, which he is reluctant to squander on things like getting more servants or acquiring more territory. But he will dig into his treasure house if it's a question of survival. It's a question of do or die. And the Friedrich Rebbe basically puts on the table that we are living in this time when that's the story. It's do or die. Now, die doesn't mean that we're going to die. It means geula or gullus. We have a choice. And the choice is up to us. This echoes, of course, in the Rebbe's famous speech, where he said in a way that was very difficult to understand at one point, I've done everything I can to bring the geula now. It's up to each one of us. If you thought for a moment that the Rebbe was going to bring Geula, you should have listened to his first sicha that he gave after the time of his ascension to the Nasius. He's announced very clearly, I'm almost quoting the paraphrase, I am not going to do this for you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to teach you. But each one of us has to do it for ourselves. So how can we do it? In fact, in Vanya, I saw tonight, just a side thing, the Rebbe was asked, of course, many times, begged many times to take on the Nasius after the Histalpus of the Friedrich Rebbe. And for a whole year, of course, he refused. And in some of his refusals, they're recorded in the Geras HaKodesh. He says, I don't have the stuff. I'm not the kind of person that you guys, I know who I am, he says. You can't tell me who I am. I know my limitations. And I know. We need to bring the Friedrich Rebbe back, he said. Of course, that depth of descent into truthful humility was has to be part of the process, and coupled with the demand and the vacuum that had been created to go beyond yourself. That's called Mesiras Nefesh. I mean, the stories that about the Rebbe and his refusal and the Rebbetzin, the Rebbe went Mesiras Nefesh to become Rebbe. He was not an Ilav Ha'alul Dekayit, trapped in the boundaries for Chokhmah Tabin. That challenge that was given, and that's the war of do or die. Bring Geula or not. My father-in-law told me that it's the time, Zaman Gulasachem, the time of your Geula has arrived. The Frida Rebbe shouted, Alta L'Shuva, Alta L'Geula. The quicker we do Shuva, the quicker it's in our hands to bring the Geula. So that challenge, which we are all facing that challenge today, I mean, in many different ways, you know, some of us in personal ways, but all of us in a cultural way, are facing a challenge of a culture that is totally godless. And we know that somehow we are closer and closer to the edge of Geula. And the dark is like the darkness gets darker and darker. You know, in many ways, this has been likened in Hasidus for many years and before us in Kabbalah, the time before Mashiach, the death of Gullus, the dying. The Gullus itself is sometimes, many times in Kabbalah particularly, analogous, the analogy is used as a snake from the Garden of Eden. And we know about a snake. Many snakes, right before they die, is called a death rattle. And the death rattle is very loud. So that's an analogy that's used in Hasidus. I can't quote where and when, but it's equivalent to the notion that the darkest hour is before the dawn. So that itself should be a sign that it's time, it's a do or die time. And if in the time of do or die, if we will bring out our total Mesiras Nefesh to turn the world upside down, God will open up the treasure house. So the short answer to how you tap the treasure house is by tapping the treasure house, which is within you, the infinity within you, the knowledge that you are an infinite engine that's able to break through all barriers. And Hashem will help and rain down the hidden treasures that he's been keeping and waiting to give out, and not waiting to give out, reluctantly giving out that he wouldn't give out except for such a do or die moment in time. So hine ois gimel nachashel rohu ein sof. Since this light, which is within us, now I've given away the secret, the treasure house, this treasure store, mining the treasure within us. This treasure within us is the ein sof, the light which is like the radiator of the light. So since this light is ein sof, inigam nevroim nishavu memenu. So also creatures who have been created from it, i.e., us, adgam hanivroim shelamata, until those down here below. Back to our expression. Lamata aden tachlis. The essence of God goes down below, 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 with no bottom limit. So the creatures down here below, yesh bohem ha'inyin habligvul. We have within us the force of unlimitedness, of breaking boundaries, and it's the bligvul hamiti, the true bligvul, which he said earlier was koyach ha'atzmus, the koyach of essence. And now down to the bracket at the bottom of the page. Will avaz there to explain this. Nami is a mimer. The Rebbe says that the Friedrich Rebbe brings the mimer of Posach Eliyahu, which we say every Erev Shabbos before Mincha, before Mincha of Erev Shabbos. So Posach Eliyahu opens up, Antu Chad, you are one, Balei Bechush, but not like you are one followed by two. You are one that has no counting whatsoever. Pirush Antu Chad Balei Bechushman. So the Rebbe tells us, what does it mean? You are one without any counting. Mevar Admar Harem Soy. So remember, he brought a mimer of the Alter Rebbe first, way back in our top of the page. And now he's bringing a mimer of the Mittler Rebbe. This is one of the styles that the Rebbe adopted in this, all the Basi Lagani. He goes through all the Seder of the Rebbeim, bringing teachings from them all the way down, you know, to the Sridika Rebbe, and sometimes twice in a mimer. So having mentioned the Alter Rebbe, he is now mentioning an explanation of the Mittler Rebbe, the Mamala Mokim of the Alter Rebbe. So what do you explain? Mittler Rebbe explained, now we're at the top of page Yud Aleph, in Toiras Chayim, this is a safe collection of Memorim of the Mittler Rebbe, Soif Pashas Noyach. He explained, Shemai Mezeh the Pasuk Eliyahu, this mimer, this saying opened up, Eliyahu opened up in the Zohar. Hoshif Kamen Medregas. In that mimer are considered many different levels from above to below. And if you look up Pasuk Eliyahu, it says, Antu Chad V'Lei B'Chushban, And it goes on, and you exude the 10 spheros, and it goes down in levels from the singularity, which gives forth to 10, and the 10, which gives forth to all the myriad multiplicity of things in the creation. So, third line, Hainu she'eina b'cheshben inin haspiros klau. So this oneness, which we say has no cheshben, what it means is this is a oneness that has no countability whatsoever, not accountability, counting. It can't be counted. It's beyond countability. It's sometimes an analogy for this is the grains of sand on a beach. I mean, it's a coarse analogy because ultimately they are individuated. But can you count them? It's a beach composed of things which are themselves uncountable. You can never count them. Another analogy that could be useful is you take a certain spoonful of sugar. It has certain grains in it. And let's say you dissolve it in water. So then you have a unity, which is a mixture. We call it a mixture with no visibility whatsoever to any of the parts, because this is a different level of inclusion. Not only that they, not that they just are existing, but they're uncountable, but they've lost their sense of individuality entirely. I mean, of course, there are ways to bring out the sugar again, but as it is a solution, everything is part of a complete inter-inclusion where there's no separation of anything whatsoever. So that's the way the Mitlid Rebbe explains it. Antuchad b'lei b'chushpan. That's antuchad b'lei b'chushpan. You are one with no accounting whatsoever. Shezei koi al achdus ha'peshuta. This is God's simple unity, his singularity, which contains, of course, in it everything that ever will be in terms of individuation, but in a state where there's no individuation whatsoever. It doesn't even have the accountedness or the ability to be accounted even in the 10 spheros. There's no spheros yet, but the spheros will emerge from it. In the fluid example I gave, it's called precipitation. You can cool down the fluid and the solid that's in it will precipitate. It'll fall out. But while it's in the fluid, there's no recognition of it at all. So this is an analogy for all of reality. Of course exists only in Hashem. He's the Hu Levadehu. He's the only thing that exists. But from that onlyness and singularity, everything comes out. But you'd never know it by looking at it because none of those individual things are there. Amna, the female shekasa begeres hakodesh. Now he's back to the Alter Rebbe. Misbor la'il, as explained above, she'abriya na'ayin liyesh, the containing, the bringing out of creation from nothing to something, u'b'koyach atzmus dafka. It's a power of essence itself. Again, essence that can carry the contradiction of singularity and multiplicity, of oneness and duality.
Okay, good, let's go.
Because atzmus has no predecessor cause. There's no cause in effect. So that atzmus is the only thing that can affect the creation of an entity like ourselves who has the experience of coming from something that we don't understand, have no hasoga in, and no realization of. Because we are like that. We are like that which has no multiplicity. We're singular. We stand on our own, just as if you could say such a thing, kaviyachol God stands alone. This multiplicity comes from simple unity. So here you have to say that the Pirush HaBeis, the second explanation, the Antu Had Vele B'Hushpan, that he is one without any counting this, Shekoil Al Hispashtis Aor, refers to the spreading out of the light, the Kol Setev Eira, to every side and every dimension, Upirish, Vilay Bheshban, that it doesn't mean that it's not accountable, not countable. She'ene Bheshban Esespiras. It's himself. He himself is not countable. Not even the 10 spheros are just expressions that come from this ultimate uncountability. Kamavur Ben Hemshek, as it explained in length in the Hemshek of Basilagani. Dibzayuvin. And this will understand what it means that he is one without any cheshbon. We're going now to turn right away. Let's do a little bit of this. Page Yud Dalet. So just as we have the oitzris, the storehouses within us, the infinite within us, and just as the time we're living, the time right before Mashiach, is a time that looks like a very deep confusion, and it is a deep confusion, taking a huge amount of energy to repair, we have to know that we're up to the task. Because we have infinity with us and we can caravel, we can turn the world over. So he says in Ois Vav, Muchrak, as you have to say, similarly, you have to say that when it comes to the avoidus of Adam, the service of a person, the klalos avodas ildum here ba'oifin kamay merzal, that the whole work of what that we have to do is an example of what our sages say. They say, mishetorach be'erev Shabbos yoichel b'Shabbos. One who works on erev Shabbos will eat on Shabbos. What does that have to do with anything? So Shabbos becomes the mashal for atzmus. Shabbos is where everything goes back to its source. Shabbos is lashon shav, to return. And the only way to come back to bring out the expression of shav, of return, sitting and manucha and rest, is the hard work of working through the 6 days of the week. The hard work of rectifying the brokenness that appears to be on the surface of things is real, of course, the brokenness of the world. And speaking about the virtue of Shabbos, the Baal Shem Tov brings on the mind on the saying of Azal, Ma hoya oilam choser menucha. After the 6 days of creation, God rested. And it says, Be'ichulu, that he rested on the day of Shabbos. So there's two ways of looking at this, which you explained. I'm not going to read it inside. There's two ways of looking at this, that he rested, stopped working on the sixth, or that on the seventh, he did this thing called Shabbos. And that's the way the mimer learns. On this seventh day, something else was brought into the world. What was the world lacking? The world was lacking menucha. And Shabbos, of course, is ma'en olam haba. Shabbos is the experience of Shabbos, is the return to that place of antuchad, the place where he is one. So from here, we're going to now move to Oizayin. And this is the Rebbe says, this is the whole point of Sif 12. Sif 12 is the Sif we've been learning, Sif 12. Shemavurkan, he's summing up, Inin Or Ein Sof Lamata Ad Ein Tachlis. The idea of what does it mean that the Or Ein Sof goes down to without end, it has no bottom. And we've explained it sometimes inside and sometimes just me explaining what we haven't learned inside, that it means that the most particularized entity in the universe, the smallest entity that exists, has the Ein Sof in it. Difference between us and a piece of dirt, they both have Ein Sof in it, is that we have something else. We have this godly soul, which not only recognizes that we have the Ein Sof within us, and it's embodied, as the Tanya we've been learning says, it's embodied in the natural love that's invested in the godly soul in every human being. But besides that, we have the teachings and the practice and the wisdom of how to actualize that. That's what the Rebbeim have given us through Chassidus. So he explains in 12, Shemavorkan Inyan Or Ein Sof Lamata Ad Ein Tachlis, where he explained that. The whole Tachlis of the Sif, of this Yud Beis, which we've been learning, he explains as Alpi HaMavorkan, which is what we've said here, that the Or Ein Sof Lamata Ad Ein Tachlis, that the Or Ein Sof extends down to the very bottom, of which there is no bottom, Ein Tachlis. And from this, Yianimshech Ad Ein Tachlis Afila Ba'olam Esbiyah, so the infinity of coming down is drawn through all the worlds, and we say not only how great is your deeds, but all the multiplicity, every particle in the multiplicity from the infinite physical universe, which you could look as a huge atomic system being manipulated at a macrocosm level, down to the lowest subatomic particle and lower than that. Everything is in a state of riboy, of multiplicity. And in this infinite multiplicity is the infinity of the singularity of the Ein Sof. And this is the union of Ein Sof Amiti, the true Ein Sof. And down to my next bracket, She'inyan Or Ein Sof L'mayla Ad Ein Keitz, that which is the Zohar says that the infinite goes up outside the upper limits, Humar She'lamayla Poisim V'noisim Oros. That refers to the opening up of the Oros. The opening up of the Oros. And with this, we're going to pretty much conclude. We'll conclude with the closing words of this in a minute. But it alludes to what I said before, which is to the extent that we realize the oitzer, the powerhouse of infinity that we have within us, and conduct ourselves not as iluva olodika, cause and effect different kind of yidden, but totally out of the box. As I said earlier, shtus de kedusha, out of the box, kerevelt. The more we do that, the more we inspire Hashem to open up the deepest chambers of his treasure house, and give us everything we need to fulfill the Ratzon of the Friedrich Rebbe to bring Mashiach now. I'm going to just finish with this. Four lines up from the bottom. It starts with Reshechem. All of the Jewish people, Reshechem, Shiftechem, Archaitiv, Etzecha, Veshoi, Vemecha, a line from Parshas Netzavim, all the strata of Jewish people, we are all included with each other, the source of Avos Yisrael, to realize that we are all from a singular root, our neshama, right? Each and every strata of society, each and every person in society is B'Tzelem Elokim, and each and every Jew stratified society is from Malchus of Atzilus at least, and has the Koyach of Malchus of Atzilus, and all the entities, that the limited entities which are in the creation, all the powers of the soul, all the stratified powers of the soul also are participating in this Ein Sof. We should know that everything that we have inside of us is taking its energy from the level of Antuchad, from Atzmus itself. Antuchad Shebenefesh, that singularity of the soul, which is the Peshitus of the Nefesh, the utter simplicity, undiversified, uncomplicated, innumerableness of the soul, which corresponds to the singularity of the Ein Sof himself. And when we touch our infinity down here below, that draws down the Oich of the treasure house of infinity from above. And with this, we have the ability to fulfill the command and the wish of Hashem that he will have a dwelling place down here below. That down here below will be found the essence and the very core of the king. That this should be revealed, the Rebbe ends, very, very near, very, very now, with the coming of the King Mashiach. Lamata Masorah Tefachim, down here below, where there is no tachlis, where there is no bottom, with the bottomness of infinity that exists in ourself, we have the power to bring down Bias Malka Mashiach. And
amen.
Hopefully that will kick us off for the rest of this year. Yeah, you can.
Question about the Rebbe. You said earlier that the Rebbe said, I know who I am and I can't, you know.
Yeah.
But wasn't his neshama the neshama of Atzilus?
Atzilus is yes. Atzilus is only a world. Atzilus is it's not even the top of the chain in Ilah Ba'olam. He was saying, from that perspective, I'm a limited creature. In our vocabulary here, I'm an Ilah Ba'olam Dekayit. I know myself, meaning I haven't yet touched and am not yet aware of the level that needs to be touched and that needs to be empowered in me to fulfill the Friedrich Rebbe's mission. Somehow he did touch it, of course, and he did take it. And personally, I think it's because of the fact that it's like he looked around and said, well, who else is there? It's going to be me. If each of us did that and looked around and said, it's up to me, we would find powers that we have yet not touched. And that's what the Rebbe did.
That is what he empowered.
And that's what he did.
What he told all of us.
Yeah, he did it. And he told us to do it. He dug out of the Ilah Ba'olam in himself and went to the Atzmus. So let's give each other blessings and we should do the same.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, I'm going to end this and thank you very much.